Hello, this is Collective Noun. For a high quality program, press 1. You have pressed 2.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Yes, welcome to the podcast. And Zach, I get to start this podcast with words that I so rarely get to say on this show, which is a promise that if things go well tonight on this show, you might hear some Michael Bublé before the end of it.
I will be doing everything in my power to make sure that Michael Bublé is not played on this podcast.
All I can confirm is that right now in the sound effects bar, I do have loaded up a Michael Bublé song. It is one button push away from me.
But that's no different to any other night. Michael Bublé is never, you know how they say a cockroach is never more than a couple of metres away from you, no matter where you are on the earth. A Michael Bublé song ready to play is no more than an arm's reach away from Dom at any time.
You could put me in the middle of the desert, no technology, no access to any way to play music whatsoever, and I'd have no food, no water, and somehow I could still get away to get just haven't met you yet playing.
Well, I hope that that doesn't happen this evening.
Well, we'll see what happens, Zach, but stay tuned. Some Bublé could be coming up shortly.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Now, Dom, you might be aware that it is book week across the country at the moment. This is where all the kids dress up as characters from books, I guess.
Yeah, it's basically the school librarian's moment to shine. Well, do you know what I mean? They decorate the library. It's a great week.
By coincidence, I was walking around like a dollar shop the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw all their costumes that they had for sale.
Right.
Now, the thing was, because it was like a dollar shop, they wanted to have all the well-known characters, but they obviously weren't prepared to pay the licensing fee.
Right, okay.
Like the copyright to use the characters.
So, because I imagine to make a Harry Potter costume, you've got to register with the Harry Potter trademark.
Exactly. And you'd probably have to pay a lot of money.
Yeah, they're quite expensive. What a waste of money.
So what I've done is I took photos of how they got around the licensing with some creative names for the characters. I've put the photos in front of you and I want to play the first ever round of Guess the Character from the Ripoff.
All right, let's get straight into
this. So the way this works, Dom, is I'll read out the character. You can't look at the picture yet. Just from the character's name, see if you can guess what they were going for.
Sure.
Our first one was Candy Creator Boy.
Can I look at the photo?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, sorry. You
just
showed me
the
photo
afterwards.
Candy Creator Boy. Oh, geez. Well, I'm thinking, is it Charlie in the Chocolate Factory? He went to a chocolate factory. I don't know what that costume would be, though. But that's all I've got. I'm going to go Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. Really? Oh my god! Okay, right movie.
You were close. It was the Oompa Loompa.
The Candy Creator Boy is definitely. I wonder if there's any difference in that outfit from an actual Oompa Loompa.
You know what? I'm going to give that to you.
Yep, you'll take.
You've got one from one so far.
Okay, thank you.
You'll
take that. That's great. And also, for anyone interested, the Candy Creator Boy includes the shirt, the suspenders, shorts, gloves, and socks. So, great deal.
The next character is Madam Evil Girl. What cartoon character do you think that's from?
Madam Evil Girl.
I'll give you a clue. It's a Disney movie.
Okay, Madam Evil Girl. I'm going to... which Disney characters fit Madam Evil Girl? Ooh. Is it like an Evil Queen type scenario is what
kind
I was thinking?
Kind of, not really.
Not quite. Geez, Madam Evil Girl. Like, maybe one telling of the Little Red Riding Hood fairy tale where the grandma's
close,
evil.
Close, but incorrect.
Cruella de Vil. Cruella de Vil. If she doesn't scare you.
Of course, it's Cruella de Vil from 101 Dalmatians. Dom, have a look at the costume.
Oh, can we get these pictures up on our Instagram or something?
Sure.
These are collected on Instagram. We'll get these up in a second. This is outstanding. My gosh, this one just includes the coat, though. You don't get as many extras as you did with the Oompa Loompa. I mean, sorry, Candy Creator Boy costume.
You've got one from two so far, Dom. This is for the win. Our third one. You need to guess the character from the ripoff.
Yep.
The ripoff name is Where's the Stripey Dude?
You're kidding me! Where's the Stripey Dude?
I think you know it.
It's Where's Wally, isn't it?
It's 100% Where's Wally?
Where's Wally?
Oh my god!
Don't you think?
Oh my gosh!
Don't you think those books would be way more successful if they went with the name Where's the Stripey Dude?
It's written right there on the package. Where's the Stripey Dude? Oh, that's incredible. That is a genius effort in marketing and getting around copyrights. I applaud that.
Yeah, I think that like even if the lawyers came across that, they would just be like, you know what, we're going to let that slide. Well done, guys.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Zach, some of the most exciting news I have read in a very long time this morning when I saw that in the UK, a mum who was out shopping has reported that Christmas decorations are in shops.
Outrageous.
This is incredible news. You know I love Christmas, Zach, and the moment Christmas decorations enter shops is the official launch of the Christmas season.
Okay, so there's no date that launches it.
No,
it's just they get to pick whenever they want.
It's always a feel thing for me, right? Yep. And you know that every year when the Christmas season launches, I launch it with Michael Bublé's cover of Christmas, Baby Please Come Home.
Yep.
Which is, in my opinion, the best song off Bublé's Christmas album, yep. But critics disagree.
So you're seeing England putting up a few decorations in their shops.
Yeah.
As the start of the Christmas season.
Well, some might say mid-late August is jumping the gun. It's a bit early for the launch of the Christmas season. But if the retailers have determined, Zach, that this is Christmas time, it's Christmas time.
Well, I would remove your finger from the play button.
No. I've got
Michael Bublé.
Do you want to hear the song? But it's time to launch the Christmas season. They're in the shops.
Just because it was in the shops in England doesn't mean that it's in the shops in Australia.
Well, look, Christmas brings the world together. That's my logic.
And in a kind of move like when you live in a cul-de-sac and you pop out to the end of your driveway to check if your neighbours have their bins out already.
See if it's bin night.
That's what I would like to do.
Okay, right. So you're saying before I jump into some Bublé Christmas carols on the 23rd of August, you'd just like to confirm that others have also declared that this is Christmas season.
I would like to hear some reports in this country
of some
Christmas decorations being put up.
I'm happy to go with this because I would like to be sure as well. I mean, there's nothing worse, and I do say nothing worse, than firing off Bublé's Christmas collection too early.
There's nothing worse than hearing Michael Bublé full stop.
You can't say that. He's
you know
great.
I've said before, and I'm happy to put on record, that if I'm ever captured in a double agent situation and they need to get information out of me, they'll play Michael Bublé and I'll talk straight away.
You'd go through hours of physical torture, but the moment the Bublé comes out, you're
in trouble. I'll tell you whatever you want.
Well, here's the thing.
Just not the Christmas album.
Well, so here's what we want to know then. 131060, have you seen Christmas anywhere yet? Now we're talking in the shops. Maybe you've seen someone put Christmas decorations up. Maybe Christmas lights you've seen up. Perhaps you heard on a show you like they played a Christmas carol. That's what I'll take any
Dom,
of those.
If
signs.
You can get three people,
three signs of Christmas
that have seen a sign of Christmas.
Okay,
I'll let you play Michael Bublé. On my side,
yes.
We need three people to deny it.
What do you mean?
If we get three denials.
What, three people saying it's too early? No.
No, they haven't seen anything.
Oh, they haven't seen anything.
So if we have three people report that they haven't seen anything, that means Michael Bublé doesn't get played at all to launch the Christmas season this year.
Ever.
Not even in December.
Whoa, you're not going to let me play Bublé at all on the show this
year? That's correct. Yes.
No, that's outrageous.
No, well, that's the rules.
The listeners will fall off by the thousands if we do that. All right, well, look, 131060, have you seen any signs of Christmas? There's a lot that hinges on this, Zach. If we get three signs of Christmas after this, we're officially declaring the Christmas season open.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
On 131060, we want to know if we can get three sightings of Christmas-related things.
Yes.
Dom is allowed to play Michael Bublé. If we get three no's, the Christmas season hasn't started, Michael Bublé will not get played in this studio forever.
Oh, forever. You said
forever.
You said in 2017 before.
It.
Oh, come
I'm
on.
Upping it.
Well, I can just say, and let me just give you a second of this.
Oh, that's
a second of
Michael
Bublé.
A little bit of vomit came up in my mouth.
That's a second of Michael Bublé's Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home. That's what you're going
to
hear.
I'm having flashbacks.
You're going to hear a bit of
that. To being in a supermarket on December 23 and just being so sick of it.
Well, what I'm going to say is if we can get three confirmed Christmas sightings in Australia on the phones right now, you're going to hear more of that. Sam in Canberra. Sam, have you seen any Christmas signs yet?
Yes, I have. It's funny, I didn't even think about it until this came on the radio.
Yep.
I caught a bus a couple of days ago from Bonner into the city.
Yep.
And the bus driver had a Christmas tree sitting on a dashboard.
No. Oh, that's a confirmed Christmas sign. That's certainly one
Let's,
in there, the
S-cam. Let's move to Tilly. Tilly, have you seen anything Christmas related yet?
No, I actually hate Christmas. Excellent.
I don't see why you should have anything up before anything before like the 22nd of December.
I agree, 22nd Tilly. 22nd of December. That's what you are you telling me, Tilly, that I'm only meant to have 3 days of Christmas a year?
You should have 30 seconds of Christmas a year.
Okay, I don't know who put Tilly through, but I don't
okay,
agree
so
with that at all.
Okay, so we have one positive, yes. One negative. We yep. have Jess in Bridgewater.
Jess, have you seen a Christmas sign?
Yeah, mate, in Bendigo at Spotlight, they were putting out the decorations, but please don't play Michael Bublé.
That is the greatest thing I have ever heard from a caller.
I'm going to be factually accurate with you. I have seen it, but please, I wish I hadn't. Oh, geez. Well,
she's only reporting the facts. There's no editorial there.
Well, look, unfortunately for you, Jess, unfortunately for the rest of Australia, the good news is, Zach, that is two yeses. That's two confirmed Christmas sightings in
One
Australia
more
already.
Yes, and Michael Bublé plays on the radio. I yes. feel like this is a threat. Let's go to Anthony in Victoria. Anthony, have you seen any Christmas signs?
No, I haven't, fellas, and I do not wish to hear Michael Bublé.
Oh, Dom, you know, the people are speaking.
I mean, it sounds like we may as well have done the phone topic. Do you not like Michael Bublé?
Yes.
At this stage, that's what we're getting a lot of, but that's interesting.
It's two each. Two each. People haven't, two people have.
Well, so here we are in the late hours of August 23, 2017, wondering whether the Christmas season has already begun, Zach. All it takes is one more confirmed Christmas sighting in Australia already this year, and Michael Bublé gets played in the Christmas season.
If you play
opened.
Michael Bublé, I will walk over that side of the desk. Yeah. I will pull every wire out of the back of that computer, and I know some of them are responsible for keeping every station that we're going to on air, and I'm willing to take that risk.
Oh, we'll get another email about taking the whole the whole company off air again.
Well, once it will be my fault.
Well, here we go.
Because up to this point, it's been you pressing the wrong button.
Well, look, it all hinges on this. We have Samantha on 131060. My finger is on the button, ready to play Michael Bublé and launch the Christmas season. What do you got for us, Samantha? Have you seen a Christmas sign?
Yes, I've seen Christmas lights on houses.
No!
Yes! Bublé's no! playing on the radio! Where Christmas has begun!
Where is it?
Christmas has
Where's
begun!
The button?
Zach has actually lost. Turn Bublé up. You're launching Bublé.
There
okay.
It is it off? Did
you've
it turn off?
Off? You've turned off Michael Bublé. You've broken my headphones. Zach, I have never seen you get so angry so instantly about anything as you did just then. But we got a few seconds of Bublé there. And Christmas season's launched is the good news.
No, it hasn't. That was it's the only appropriate reaction.
No.
And I'll be doing that in every supermarket this year. Watch out, because I'm coming for your CD players. No Bublé in 2017 is the campaign I'm running.
We can confirm, Australia. August 23 and Christmas has already begun. Get ready. It's going to be a great 3.5 months.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom. This is Dom's Google history.
Dom, I feel like you can learn a lot about someone by what they search on the internet. That's why each week we read out your most recent Google searches and you have to explain the weird and wonderful things you have Googled.
Yes, what do you got tonight?
Our first one was searched at Saturday, 1:21 a.m. How many middle-aged friends should I have? It's not something that we've touched on the show before. But also, to long-time listeners, it probably doesn't come as a surprise.
Well, no, I think
Dom actually has a lot of middle-aged friends.
We have touched on my friendships with former teachers. That has come up before. This was... Look, one of my middle-aged friends, Carl, he's a great guy. Carl said I should catch up with his friend, Margaret, who's, I think, in her... she'd probably be in her 50s, I think.
And we need to point out, yeah. Dom is 23.
Yeah. So I had coffee with Margaret, and we got on great.
Is Margaret male or a female?
A female. Yeah. So Margaret and I got on great. You know, she gave some great
is
life...
Is it Margaret?
Margaret. So we got on, she gave some great life advice, and I was just leaving thinking...
Oh, one-on-one?
Yeah, just one-on-one. And as we left, I was just thinking, well, I think that brings me up to about... 5 or 6 middle-aged friends now. Where's the cap? What's normal?
What did Google say?
Google said having friendships outside your own age limit's really enriching and rewarding for your life.
But doesn't it also say you have to have some friends your own age?
It did say that the ratio should be maybe one friend not your age for every 2 your age. And if that's the case, my ratio is way off.
The next thing you Googled was Wednesday, 12:39 p.m. How to cheat at carnival games.
Okay. Well, I went to a carnival last week, as you know, and I've never been able to win the games in Sideshow Alley.
And
what
were you trying to cheat at?
Any of them. Anything I could win a big stuffed toy at.
Yeah.
I didn't mind what it was. I wasn't fussy.
Yeah.
Like whether it was the basketball game, whether it was the clown heads, whether it was maybe the pull the string thing, whatever the carnival game is, just tell me how to win it.
Did you get any advice on Google?
Well, the only tip they said was watch how the carnies do it. Yep. So when they'll stand back and show you how easily it's done, often there might be some way they do it that you're meant to watch and mimic that, and that helps you win. Didn't help me win.
No. What did you try?
I tried the basketball one.
That's the worst one to try.
Why is that the worst one to try?
Because it's the hardest.
Well, the carny got it in 3 out of 3 times. He was really good at it.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it means that you should be able to do it?
Yeah.
I'm sure Michael Jordan would get 100 from 100. Doesn't mean that you can.
Well, that's true. I did have a go at it. I paid, actually had 3 goes at it. It was $15 and I didn't get 1 shot in.
Wait, 3 goes at $15 a pop?
It was $5 a pop. Okay. So 15 total, 3 goes. Didn't get one in, and I will not be looking to the internet for carnival game advice in future.
Our last one, Thursday, 2:41 a.m. Can too many blueberries change your skin color? Now, I'm sure... Were you watching Willy Wonka and you saw what happened to that poor girl and you're afraid it would happen to you?
Okay, I'd had 3 punnets of blueberries that day.
Oh, dude.
Well, they're on sale. Blueberries were on sale. I bought a bunch of punnets and I had them in a day, right? And this is gonna sound ridiculous. My skin was looking a little bluer than usual. As I noticed, as I stepped in the shower, I was like, oh, my complexion has changed just a little bit. Yeah. And I wondered if I had another like 10 punnets, like I think is it Veronica in Willy Wonka, would I turn blue or purple?
I got a question. While you were downing these punnets, did any little orange men come in singing a tune warning you not to continue?
Well, it's, you know, it's so funny you say that because the top 5 Google responses were all about Willy Wonka and facts about the movie. No one had even asked that question before. That showed how bizarre it was. No one in the world had asked that to Google before, apparently.
Well, there you go.
So my skin is staying pale for the moment, not turning blue.
You didn't discover a life hack on how to get a slightly tan skin.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
This is Collective Noun's Out of Context News.
Making Out of Context News tonight, Scott Cam gave his advice for doing brain surgery.
Just got to get in there and have a crack, and you will stuff it up the first time. Then you'll go, oh, next time I'll do it this way, and I go, oh, a few little mistakes there. Third time, I'm a genius.
Also, Niall Horan went out in Sydney after midnight.
It's been good. It's been fun. It's been different, obviously. A lot less people around here. But it's been good.
And Donald Trump had a warning for Where's Wally?
We will find you. We will arrest you. We will jail you. And we will deport you.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Zach, when you're at a restaurant and you happen to see a cockroach crawl in front of you on the floor at the restaurant.
Yes.
And you alert your waiter to the cockroach that's just crawled in front of you in the restaurant like I did last night. There is probably one thing you don't want to hear your waiter say. Oh, not another one.
Well, that's true. Whenever you see a cockroach, there's always more. I don't think there's lone cockroaches.
No, they don't operate alone. They travel in packs.
Well, that might be the scout.
Right.
So, that might be how they operate. They have a big base, and then each night, one of them has to go to each place to scout out the food, and then they report back to the pack, and they say, this restaurant's great. We'll go back there tomorrow in a group.
Well, I was at this restaurant right now. I was there having dinner. It seemed a pretty okay place, like middle-of-the-road type restaurant. But this cockroach came along. It was crawling near me, so I alert the waiter. And after he says another one, he crushes it with his foot, right? Just in front of me.
I don't
know. I don't know if that's the right approach, right? No. Now, but tell me if you think this is weird what he does from here. He bends down, picks it up with his fingers, like doesn't get something else to pick it up with, carries it over to the corner and drops it on the floor in like near the back room of the of the restaurant, near where the entrance to the kitchen is.
Right.
So at this stage, I'm thinking, this is just a bizarre way to go about this. I mean, what would you do? If you're a waiter, someone alerts you to a cockroach.
If I was a waiter.
How would you handle the cockroach situation?
I think you would apologise.
Yep.
So I'd deal with that straight away. And then you'd catch it.
Yes.
And then take it, I don't know, away from where people could see.
You would perform the execution off-site, I think.
I personally probably wouldn't execute it, but I understand that some people would.
Yes.
And yeah, I would do that away from the the people in the restaurant.
When I'm eating my meal, I don't want to hear this squishing of a cockroach under his shoes.
Also, like, it is a squish, isn't it? It's not nice.
No, it's not a nice sound at all.
Because there'd be some residue on the ground.
There was residue on the ground, and he didn't bother cleaning that up. But so here's how the rest of the meal unfolds. I put the cockroach out of my mind. I'm like, well, you know, here we are. We'll just push on with this meal. And then at the end, I go up to pay for my meal. And I wander over to the register, and I notice where he's dropped the cockroach. Now, there is, and I did a rough count.
Yep.
I would say we've hit double digits of cockroaches.
Right.
Dead cockroaches that this is clearly the cockroach pile in this restaurant. When they find a cockroach, squash it, put it in the cockroach pile.
So you say, when you go, oh, excuse me, could I use the bathroom? They go, yes, it's just past the kitchen. Take a left at the cockroach pile.
So yeah, these dead cockroaches there. And he then, I'm talking about it. And I said, he said, how's your meal? I said, oh, pretty good, you know, by the cockroach thing. And he said, yeah, a lot of them tonight. Hey, right. Which is like, so just.
It's like the weather. It's a bit warm out. Ooh, well, a lot of cockroaches around.
I couldn't believe how nonplussed he was.
Yeah.
It was like he didn't think that cockroaches in a restaurant, it never occurred to him that could be an issue.
Yeah.
The other thing it confirmed to me is that those 10 were from tonight.
I thought maybe they get cleared out daily.
A cockroach guy comes along. Anyway, and then he's like, oh, sorry about that. What were you like? We'll do something to make it up for you.
And
right?
What did they do?
5% discount.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
It added up to about $2.50 because I didn't get much of a meal. So that's right. To witness the squashing of the cockroach,
yes.
See the world famous cockroach pile,
yes.
Find out that entire cockroach pile is from tonight only, I got $2.50 off my meal.
Well, I feel like their big mistake is the pile. Right. Not only because you were able to see it,
yes.
But I feel like that's just going to make the mob angry. Like, why would you remind the family of cockroaches that the guy killed, like, half the family?
Yeah, that's a good point. You shouldn't put that on display.
They're going to come back, double the numbers for revenge.
Yeah, well, that's not a bad idea. Then I might get 10% off.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
In the radio industry, thousands of people request an on-air shout-out every week. These shout-outs are carefully considered before just one is granted. This is Collective Noun's Shoutout Courtroom.
About to enter the courtroom to pick the most eligible shoutout, Dom.
That's right.
We have to put our judge wigs on.
Yep.
Bit itchy, but I'm happy to do it.
But nice and warm on a night like this. Let's enter the shoutout courtroom now, Zach.
Let's welcome our first applicant. We have Hannah in Coffs Harbour. Right behind us, Hannah.
You could have had the door open for Hannah there. Welcome into the shoutout courtroom, Hannah. What would you like a shoutout for?
It's my friend Claire's birthday.
Okay, for a friend's birthday. Is it a special occasion birthday or just a run-of-the-mill one?
18.
18's a good
that's
one.
That's worth a mention.
That is worth a mention. I'm wondering, Zach, would there be a better way to usher your way into adulthood than a shout-out?
No, there's nothing better than a shout-out full stop for anything.
You know, I'm stupid.
You know what shout-outs can do?
Yeah.
They can save marriages.
Yeah.
They can bring countries together.
Mm.
If we were invaded by aliens,
yes.
If we gave a shout-out, it would resolve any tension.
That's true.
I'm not overstating it.
No, we're dealing with something powerful here, and it's important to remember that every now and then.
Okay, Hannah wanted to give a shout-out to her friend Claire.
Mm.
We have Melody.
Welcome into the shout-out courtroom, Melody. What would you like a shout-out for?
Just all my followers on Instagram.
Yep.
I'm AussieBeauty87.
Okay, AussieBeauty87. Now, we might not be able to give that a shout-out on the radio.
Mm, we may not be able to do that. I should ask them, Melody, are you wanting to give a shout-out to your current followers or a plug to get more followers?
A bit of both.
Oh, so it's a dual-purpose shout-out, interestingly, Zach. So I think that was AussieBeauty87 on Instagram.
Our last applicant is Ethan.
Mm.
Ethan, who do you want to give a shout-out to?
Sorry, let Ethan into the
Sorry,
shout-out.
Sorry, you wouldn't have been able to hear that through the door. Ethan, who do you want to give a shout-out to?
I'll give a shout out to my mate Lockie for giving me a lift to Benalla and back from Wangaratta.
Okay, right. Well, why is he giving you a lift, Ethan?
He's been giving me a lift. My bike's been out of service and we actually work together. So he's been a good lad and done the service of taking me to and from.
Now, I'm assuming that your motorbike's out of service. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, because the image I had was someone on a push bike and someone riding on the pegs on the back down the highway.
Ethan, are you with Lockie in the car at the moment?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Well, look, Zach, I always do enjoy a shout-out where the recipient is in
That's
the presence
true. That
of
will be in your favour. Yeah. Dom, let's adjourn.
Yeah, it's important that
and, we will review our applicants for this evening. Mm. We must stress, not all these people will get shout-outs on the radio, but Hannah wanted to give a shout-out to Claire on her 18th birthday.
Yep.
Melody wanted to give a shout-out to her own Instagram account, AussieBeauty87, and Ethan wanted to give a shout-out to his mate, Lockie, for giving him a lift while his bike's out of order. Dom, what are you thinking?
Look, it's a tough one. You know, as good as it would be to kick off an 18th birthday with a shout-out, I reckon I can rule that one out.
You're ruling that out?
I'm ruling that out. That was really high
on my list.
Well, I'm ruling it out, Zach, because I just feel like turning 18 is exciting enough in its own.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? You've had enough excitement when you're turning 18. I don't know if you need a shout-out on top of that.
So that leaves Ethan for his friend Lockie and Melody for her Instagram account.
Jeez. Well, you know what? This is an unprecedented move. But let me just check out AussieBeauty87 on Instagram to see if that's an Instagram... Because we should know.
I don't know if you should use the term check out.
Just have a...
Well, verify.
Verify. I think it's worth having a look whether or not this is the sort of Instagram page that deserves a shout-out. AussieBeauty87. There we go. I found Melody.
That's so close to your Instagram handle too, Dom. You're AussieBeauty89.
I am. You know what? It looks like a pretty quality, some funny content. I can see a picture with two strawberries that look a little like buttocks, which is quite a funny post.
Okay.
So that's making me lean towards Melody.
Okay, is that what we're going?
If you're happy to agree with me on that, I mean, it's up to you.
What I liked about that is we've never had someone shout out to their Instagram, and I think that's a really good idea.
I think that's a great idea. So congratulations, Melody. You are getting the shout out this evening. Oh, I love no worries. I love the joy it still brings.
Now, Melody, we have experience with this because we have said Collective Nouns Instagram on the radio before.
Mm.
And I tell you what, you are going to be beside yourself when you get two, maybe three new followers out of that.
And that's from the whole year of mentioning it for us as well. So we'll see how we go. But congratulations, Melody. It's now over to the official business.
This is an officially sanctioned and verified shout-out on behalf of Collective Noun, extended on this occasion to...
Melody, a.k.a. AussieBeauty87.
The reason for this shout-out, as commissioned in a scheduled sitting of the shout-out courtroom, is...
Get a couple more Instagram followers.
This concludes all official shout-out courtroom business.
Wigs down, that's the shout-out courtroom done for another week.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
If you've listened to the podcast before, you know that each week we ask, beg, nay, plead for five-star reviews on the iTunes podcast store, a.k.a. the Collective Noun forum, a.k.a. the happiest place on the internet.
And look, you might be thinking, how do I get onto this happiest place on the internet? It sounds far too expensive for someone like me, but you're wrong. All it's going to cost you is a five-star rating on the iTunes podcast store. You got to search for Collective Noun on there, leave the five-star rating, that's your ticket in, and you can do whatever you want in the forum when you're there.
Dom, who do we have frolicking today?
Firstly on the forum, Zach, we have LEP123, who has just discovered the podcast.
Welcome.
And it's always good to welcome newcomers. I mean, do you think our hospitality to newcomers to the podcast is as good as it could be?
Well, obviously, you get a free drink on your first entry into the Collective Noun forum.
Yeah, absolutely. All new visitors get that.
It's the pop top.
Yep.
Which is the most exciting thing I could have as a child. Did you have pop tops?
I totally miss pop tops. I reckon they should serve adult drinks in pop tops as well.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Just, I don't know, like a rum
and coke.
Well,
I guess that's what Gatorade is, though.
Oh, that, yeah, but no.
Gatorade is totally an adult pop-top.
Gatorade is an adult pop-top.
Actually, no, I might be thinking of Powerade. Or do they both come in the top-pops?
They're both very similar, I think. Okay. You can get that option for both. Although I do feel like I miss the six-pack, the small little ones that you'd have in your lunchbox.
Oh, the pop-top.
Yeah,
six-pack. Yeah, I used to get those. That was a special occasion.
Yeah, yeah. That's when you're having a big night. You're hitting the pop-tops heavily. You buy a six-pack and bring it over to a friend's place.
Yeah, when I walked into school with a six-pack on my shoulder... The other 8-year-olds were like, whoa. And I was like, where's the Esky guys? Got to get these on ice.
So look, LEP123, welcome along. Let us know your pop top flavor. We'll get that straight to you. Look, Zach, LEP123 just wants to mention the Christmas quota, which has been put on me by our boss.
You're getting very close to filling it, Dom, but you're only allowed to talk about Christmas three times between now and the start of December.
That's right. And look, LEP just wants to say it's a shame to hear about my Christmas ban and wanted to let us know that in their household, they've got a birthday ban, which is that you're not allowed to talk about what you want for your birthday until the birthday before you has passed.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
There must be like a number of siblings.
Yes. Yeah.
And so there in the lead up to the birthday is all about the one person.
I think that's quite clever. I mean, I wouldn't like that in my family because Dad's birthday is only like 2 or 3 weeks before mine.
Yeah, see, hopefully the birthdays are quite well spread out.
Yes, you want a few months build up to your birthday, whereas I have to quite rushedly get together my birthday list. Mm-hmm. If I'm
your birthday's in a month.
Yeah.
Have you told people what you want? Is that the type of thing that you do?
I have told Mum a few ideas, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Was it written down?
No, just verbally at the moment. The official list will come out in mid-September. It's September 30 for all listening in wanting
and
to
what
prepare.
Do you want?
I've actually asked for a massage voucher from Mum. I thought it'd be good to go get a massage.
Oh, okay, so a professional one. Not one of those, like, IOU packs.
Yeah, I want Mum to give me a massage. That'd be great. I thought it'd be nice to go get a massage and maybe, I don't know, I'm less exciting than I used to be with my birthday lists.
Yep.
It used to be like a whole index. It was quite impressive.
Yep.
Really, I was, as a child, I was everything that's wrong with capitalism.
Were you?
In one child. Oh, yeah, Zach. Every year I do, because my birthday is really, talking about my Christmas love, really well placed a few months out from Christmas. The Christmas stuff has started to appear in shops. And so
consumerism is what you're talking about.
That's what I'm after, yeah. Because the Christmas stuff started to appear in shops, I do get a lot of Christmas decorations and stuff as presents, which I absolutely love.
Yep, so you'd be getting a few of them this year?
Yeah, I expect I'll get some of them and maybe a few vouchers. What were you, you've thought of a gift for me yet?
I have, actually.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, do we do gifts for birthdays, me and you?
Well, this year I'm giving you a gift and I know what it's going to be and flag it right now because I'm quite excited about it.
Genuine gift?
What do you mean genuine
gift?
Well,
is it a joke gift that's going to make me look like an idiot, or is it a really genuine, heartwarming, friend-to-friend gift?
A little from column A and a little from column B.
Well, I look forward to that. Your birthday is Halloween, isn't
it? Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. October 31.
So yours
I feel like it's my birthday. I feel like Halloween's on my birthday.
Oh, right. So, I mean, Halloween came first, I imagine. But, you know, fair call.
Well, I'm not hundreds of years old, so correct.
But yeah, okay. Well, was that an issue for you actually growing up as a kid having Halloween on the same day?
How would that be an issue?
Well, like, you know, you're having a party and all your friends want to trick and treat instead or something.
Trick
like
or treating
that.
Wasn't a big thing in my childhood.
True. It's kind of taken off more in Australia lately, but you know. Well, that means.
Did you have a trick or treat?
I gave it a go, but
that's right. Didn't your neighbor say you're too old?
Yeah, not my neighbor. We went to a different neighborhood where my friend lived to do it. And on my first trick or treat, I was 19.
Yeah.
Right?
And too old.
Yeah, way too old. I did get told by, when I was 19, 20, and 21. And when I was 21, the person who'd given us lollies reluctantly the 2 years before said, not this year. Like, I'm just not doing it. I can't do this. I can't encourage this behavior.
No, I think at that stage, unless you're with like your small siblings or cousins or nieces and nephews. You have to be accompanied by a child.
I will be the first ever dad to take their kids trick-or-treating with their own lolly basket. Some for me as well, please. But look, if we go by LEP123's family rule.
Yeah, we can't talk about me yet. Yep. It's all about you, Dom.
Wait until after September 30, then we can chat about your birthday. We've also heard from Megan MLR on the Christmas quota, Zach, who said that they quite enjoy my Christmas discussions on the show and are a bit skeptical that maybe this whole Christmas quota is just your way of trying to stop me talking Christmas.
Yeah, there's been a few people suggest that, but I don't understand why, because I have clear documented evidence that it came straight from the boss. I have both that I've shown on the podcast.
Yeah.
I've had an email from the boss and I had a phone call taken live on air.
Yeah.
You heard me talking to the boss.
Yes, but I didn't hear the boss's end of that conversation.
Yeah, well, no, because it wasn't through the system. It was just on my phone.
Would the boss be willing, do you think, to join us on the show himself to discuss this?
What I think I could convince him of is if he could stand out the room. And I could relay the messages in.
Okay. No,
I think I could convince him of that.
All right. Well, maybe we should look at doing that down the track. We'll see. Because I can understand maybe he feels quite bad about the Christmas quota and doesn't want to look me eye when he announces it.
100%. Yeah. That's his feelings on it. Mm. I was more than happy to be the middleman.
Yep.
I said, I'll pass it on. He's not going to be happy.
Yep.
And to be honest, I said, I won't share my opinion because that's not important.
No.
How I feel about Dom talking about Christmas isn't the issue here. Yep. I'll just be the messenger and I won't change any of the messages.
Well, look, we'll see what happens with the boss in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
But we might have to confront that sooner than we maybe had thought, because
you are getting very close.
We are pushing through the quota. Also, thanks to Shelby's 62, who has left a comment on the forum, Zach, just saying that they think that their Google history is on a similar level to mine, which is that's impressive if it is.
I would encourage everyone to look through their Google history, because the idea is you Google so quickly these days, the reflex.
Yes.
You kind of forget what you Googled, so you can look through it and be like, oh, what was I thinking then?
And lastly, on the forum today, Zach, LadyJane95 has gotten in touch about a pretty heated discussion we had recently about the amount of sugars I was having in my coffee.
That's right. Well, you feel like that. I feel more strongly about this than I actually do. You keep telling me that I keep judging you. Well, I don't think I've actually ever spoken to you about it. You might be confusing. I think when you were having four, I might have had some words to you.
Yeah.
But since you had two, lots of people have two sugars. I think if you wanted to cut down, it would be positive idea.
Well, I certainly felt inferred pressure to cut from two to one. I tried it, and I said on the show the other week that it had gone badly and I'd relapsed, and I'd gone to three sugars in my coffee. Well, LadyJane95 just wants to say that I need to move from coffee to tea, because no one cares how much sugar you put in a cup of tea.
Don't they?
Oh, I had not heard that rule. I thought maybe you'd heard that rule.
No.
Maybe LadyJane95 has made up this rule for herself. But in saying that, I do go more sugars in a tea.
So Steve, what do you do?
Three and a half.
Three and a half.
It depends if it's...
That's four. It's 100% four.
It's three heaped ones and a slightly less heaped one. It depends.
So five.
We're talking tablespoons. Yep. No, it depends if it's a sweetened blend of tea.
What do you mean a sweetened blend?
Oh, like, you know, you can get your vanilla teas, you can get your... The one I'm currently loving is a New York breakfast tea, which tastes like pancakes. It's delicious.
And is that in a bag or is it loose leaf?
Tea bag. This one.
A tea bag.
Yep.
But cultured.
Deluxe tea bag from a specialty tea shop.
Yeah, right.
I only put three teaspoons of sugar in that one because it's quite sweet as it is. So I only need three.
Dude, I've recently changed how I've been having my coffee.
Yeah, okay.
I thought you'd be interested.
Yeah.
I've bought an AeroPress.
Oh, okay. What does that one do?
Well, because I have my coffee black.
Yeah.
And it was like too grainy.
Okay, right.
If you use like a French press or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so this now pushes all the water through the shot or through the filter paper using a pillow of air because it creates like a vacuum.
Okay, right.
And so it's like a...
And how many sugars do you put in that?
Zero.
No, you don't put zero in.
Of course.
What? Not even one sugar?
No sugar, no milk.
That's awful. Well, how do you drink that?
In my mouth.
No, I'm sorry. Look, that is the moment.
This is the point I've been trying to tell you the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Once you get used to it, you like it.
Well, I'm sorry to end the forum on such a sour note, quite literally. It's more bitter note, isn't it?
Well, if it's bitter, you're doing it wrong.
Okay, well, how about you make me a black coffee one time and I'll see
how that's
a good
idea, actually.
We'll try that. I doubt I'll get through one mouthful, but we'll see how we go. If you want to join the Collective Noun forum as well, we'd love to have you on board. All you have to do is search for Collective Noun on iTunes, leave a 5-star rating, write whatever you want in the review, and we'll read it out next time on the show.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Now, we were going to share a different story to end the show tonight, but Dom just said something in the songs fair. I feel like we need to clarify and maybe clear the air a little bit, if that's okay.
Do we have to bring this up? Honestly, I'd rather we didn't.
Well, I just think it would be important to get it out in the open and just clear it up, because obviously there's some differing opinions.
Well, this was you brought up the nature of broccoli.
We were talking about broccoli, the vegetable.
Yes.
And I said, do you know the story of broccoli?
Well, you told me it wasn't naturally occurring.
Yeah, well, because I have heard that broccoli didn't exist in the world.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And then through selective breeding of a few different plants, the broccoli we know today has come to be.
Now, this is where, my understanding of broccoli's origin story was a bit different. And I had not examined that thought before.
Do you want me to say what you thought or do you want to say it?
You say it.
Dom thought broccoli was small trees.
Yeah, I did. Okay. Now,
bonsai? Is that the idea?
Well, so you said it's not naturally occurring. Obviously, at that size, I didn't think they were naturally occurring.
I assume. You thought there was massive broccoli somewhere?
Yeah, I know.
You thought there was really big broccoli?
I thought they were taking, like, tree seeds and, like, making, like, smaller versions of them. I don't really know, Zach.
You thought that that's how it grew. There was mini forests somewhere in the world of broccoli.
No, It's a thought I had from childhood that I guess
because
I never
they said developed. Your parents might have said they sometimes parents say that they look like mini trees so that kids eat them.
Right.
And you never considered it again.
No, I never thought about it again. And the reason I thought it made sense because they look a lot like trees, and I thought the stem might have been like, you know, just like the trunk of a tree, but it hasn't ripened yet, so it's only green.
Right. Oh, that kind of makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah. So I've gone my whole life, and in fact, at more than one restaurant.
Oh, no.
Now I think about it, I have asked for little trees, thinking it was a substitute name or making a joke with the waiter. So I honestly.
What did you say?
Oh, like, I'll have a side of the little trees, thanks.
Do they ask for clarification?
Yeah. Oh, well, I've just said, like, the, like pointing at the broccoli at the same time.
The little trees.
I honestly, on this one occasion, Zach, I side with you. I'm looking at my history, and I'm like, I can't believe I thought that for so many years.
Yeah.
But yes, up until the age of nearly 24, I did think broccoli was genetically engineered small trees.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that we've cleared that up because yes. You did learn it in your childhood.
Yep.
It has carried the way through.
Mm.
I would like to end maybe with another bombshell.
Yep.
The spoon your mum fed you with wasn't a real aeroplane. Just so you know, that was just a spoon she was calling an aeroplane.
My whole world's falling apart here. What about when the train went into the tunnel? That unrelated?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. That is what we've got time for on the show tonight. If you do want to hear the full thing back, search for Collected Down on iTunes. You can download it there until tomorrow night at 11. That's
awesome. Bye.
From Collective Noun, grab podcasts and videos online on Facebook at Collective Noun Comedy.